and they'll get one of those to you. And, you know, in the past, we always had ushers out there, but in the times of COVID, we've been encouraged not to be passing things to one another, but we will pray God's protection on us. And, yeah, having said that, I don't want to make light of it. I know some people that are very ill and people that have died. And so let's just pray for God's protection on his church and on his people and on our nation. Father, we thank you that there is nothing too difficult for you. You are the great physician. You are the healer. And we ask, Father, that you will strike down COVID and that you will destroy the virus and that you will keep your children, your people, your church healthy and strong. Protect us even today. And Father, protect, Lord, especially those that are crying out to you. Lord, there are people that are sick right now that need healing. We ask, Lord, that you would heal them. We ask that you would raise them back up. Lord, may your mercy rest on us today, and may you speak to us during this time as we look at your word, as we hear your voice. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I want to talk about hearing the Lord. When I was a young man, I had no concept of hearing the Lord. I was one of those kids. My family made sure I was in church when I was a little kid. And you would get, some of you who are my age, you may remember this, they would have a little Sunday school quarterly, a little booklet that they'd give you that you would take home. The idea was you'd read your Sunday school lesson, you'd read your Bible, and when you come back the next week, they had a little thing that you would check off if you read your Bible. Anybody remember anything like that? There's a handful of you that remember that, okay? So we were a people that were rooted in reading the Word and studying, and that's really good. But there is something that goes beyond it. There is the experiential impact of God speaking to us. Now, when I really encountered the Lord was when I was 19 years old. And God took me through a season of brokenness. And during that brokenness and desperation, God used people who knew the Lord to speak into my life. And at 19 years old, I began walking with the Lord. When I was getting ready to get out of college, my pastor, good man, godly man, he approached me one day and he said, "So what are you going to do?" And I was going to move back to my hometown. I had a job and I said, "I'm going to go to church. I'll be faithful there." I use this word. I said, "I'm going to be a good churchman, a faithful churchman." And he said, "Are you sure that's all that God wants?" And I was like, yeah. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give. He prayed for me, and that was the last time I think I ever saw that man. About 2 years later, God began doing a work in my life. And there was this internal thing inside of me that the more I served, I started working with the youth, I started working with children, the more I did, the more I hungered to do. And I had people come up to me and start to ask me, "Do you think God may be calling you?" I said, "I don't know." "You think God may be calling you into full-time ministry?" "I don't know." I had people who shared with me, they thought that's what God was doing, and for the next 6 months, I remember going to my pastor and saying, "Would you pray for me?" And over 6 months, God began wooing me. But it wasn't with my ears, my physical ears. There was an internal sense of God's voice calling me deeper. How many of you have ever sensed that reality of God's voice speaking to you? Well, I want to talk about that today. Because we've been going through, those of you who are back with us for the first time, by the way, we've got a number of people that I haven't seen in a long time. We got Men of Valor back. We're so glad to see you guys. We're glad that you guys are here. We got a number of church folk that this is the first time they're back. I got some friends, Jeff and Becky, sitting here. I wanted to call y'all out. Good to see you. God is good. Anyway, for the last few months, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew, we just finished Matthew chapter 5. And in Matthew chapter 5, what Jesus does, he corrects some wrong ideas that the Pharisees had. And he does things like this. He'll say, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not kill. But I say to you, if you're angry at your brother, if you call your brother a fool." And what Jesus does is he takes the literal word and goes deeper. You've heard it was said you should not commit adultery, but what I say to you is you shouldn't even lust. You've heard it, and he goes on and on, and the idea is don't stop at just the physical words of Scripture. Because God will take the words of Scripture and he'll deal and go deeper into your heart. And so I wanted to take a Sunday and just say, don't take the Sermon on the Mount and all these instructions that we've been giving and make it a new law, a new set of, okay, that's the rule and I got to keep it. Yes, Jesus gives us ways to live, but let it breathe in you. Let his Spirit speak to you. I want you to read this with me. Let's read this out loud. Galatians 5, 16 through 18, and then we're going to look at a couple other verses. Say it with me. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Now, Jennifer, go back one slide. I want you to grab this verse right at the top. Walk by the Spirit. Everybody say that phrase. Walk by the Spirit. I hear a little bit of feedback there. Go to the next slide now. If you are led by the Spirit, and then live by the Spirit, and then keep in step with the Spirit. We are not just a people of words, we are a people of life. And if Jesus Christ has entered your life, his Spirit is in you, and what he wants to do is breathe life in you. And the way that we walk with him is not just with the literal words, but by his Spirit breathing life into those words and us walking with him. By the way, I meant to say, kids, parents and kids, if you want to, some of the kids, if you would like them to gather outside and use, we got crayons and books and things like that for them to use. If you want them in here, we'd love to have them in here. So just, it's an option if you want to do that. All right. So here's this idea, led by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. We must be a people that are in tune with the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to hit some points really quick today. They're in your notes. And then we're going to ask Isaac Henson to come and share. God's been doing something fresh in his life. And it's good to hear, you know, when God is doing something, it's good to hear because testimonies can powerfully impact us. The fact that God speaks is just throughout Scripture. Go back to Genesis. They're walking with God in the garden and God is speaking to them. Abraham has an encounter with God where God speaks to him and tells him he's going to be the father of many nations. God spoke to Noah about the coming flood. God spoke to Jacob about his future. God spoke to Joseph in dreams about he was going to be the sun and the moon and the stars were going to bow down to him, picturing his father and mother and his brothers. God communicated with Moses out of the burning bush, and then God spoke to Moses face to face. And so all throughout Scripture is this idea that God speaks. So I guess the real question isn't, does God speak? The question is, are we listening, and do we even know how to listen? And so today I want to give you some thoughts about this. You know, there are three big categories of how God speaks to us. So if you'll go to the next one. First, God speaks to us to convict and to correct us. You ever heard that one? You know, you blow it. And then David talked about in Psalm 32 after he had sinned with Bathsheba. In Psalm 32, David says, your hand was heavy upon me. God doesn't just speak in words, but he speaks to, when you blow it, when you sin, until we confess it, he weighs his hand upon us, and we just know that something's not right. I just want to encourage you, if you're going through a season where you feel like the weight of the Lord is upon you, it's good to ask why. It's good to say, Lord, are you trying to get my attention? Another way that God speaks, he gives us direction. He speaks to guide our lives. gives us wisdom. Sometimes he does that by just bringing something into your mind. Sometimes he does it through other people, counsels us. During the first service, I shared a story. I want to go back to this, but when I was a young man in seminary, there was a guy that really mentored me, a guy that really spoke into my life and just encouraged me and taught me how to be just a stronger leader and a better leader. And this guy just meant so much to me. And finally, one day, he just sat down with me and a few other guys, and he told us he was leaving our ministry, going to another ministry. And he told us why. But in telling us why, he actually took some scriptures and he kind of misapplied them and it made me mad. And I felt like he was wrong. And he probably was wrong in the way that he was using the scripture. And so I went home and I started searching through my Bible and I came out with all these verses. Now I'm going to go and I'm going to tell Johnny why he's wrong and blah, blah, blah. And I wrote them all down on a yellow pad. And I'm ready to go straighten him out. You ever been that guy? You want to go straighten somebody out? And there's a place for it. But apparently this was not the place, because I got all these things and I got in my car and I'm ready to head over to Johnny and I'm just ready to rebuke the snot out of him. And I hear this thought in my head. My word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Don't you dare use it to cut up your brother. And he was like, all right. And I laid it down. You see, it's the Spirit of God that will take his written word and give us wisdom to know when do we confront and when do we speak words of grace? When do we call people to a high, holy truth and call them to repentance? And when do we speak words of kindness? Because there are times when we need this and there's times when we need this. And it is the wisdom of the Spirit to lead us into that. The other thing that God does, the third thing, God speaks to use us in ministry. Have you ever had one of those moments where you just had a sense that you're supposed to go and encourage someone? Hey, I need to go share this with somebody. Where does that come from? Maybe you're someone with a gift of mercy or a gift of service, and you just have this sense, I need to go do something for somebody. They're hurting. Where does that come from? That's a work of the Holy Spirit leading us. Sorry, guys, I'm losing my voice up here. An important point, if we'll go to the next one, Jennifer. Fresh encounters with God are often initiated after periods of trial, of difficulty and silence. One of the things that God will do is he will bring us down. He will empty us so that then he can fill us. But what happens normally when we go through a time of trial, we go through a time of difficulty, we lose confidence and we lose focus and we just think, you know, where's God in this? When I was first preparing this, I was going to go through the story of Gideon, which is in Judges. And I'm not going to do that, but just to bring a little bit of it in, you can find it in Judges chapter 6. The people of Israel were in a time of oppression where another nation had come in and was dominating them and they was taking their food and they were feeling helpless. Gideon, among others, is hiding out. They've lost all their weaponry. They don't have enough food. And they're feeling abandoned by God. And it actually says at the beginning of chapter 6, and the people cried out to God. And it says that God then raised up a prophet. When God brings us low, that's when we really need to cry out. So if you're going through a time of searching, a time of emptiness, a time of difficulty, now is the time to cry out. Because God may be preparing you for a new movement, a new time in his life. We're getting a lot of feedback up here. Are you guys hearing that too? Yeah, okay. One pastor says this way, when circumstances shift, ask him. When things change, ask him, Lord, what are you doing? So the pattern is this. When people cry out, if we can go to the next slide, please. Is it stuck? Oh, there we go. Oh, I thought that I had, I'm sorry. I thought there was another slide here. But the pattern is God begins to move when his people cry out to him. And you see that in Exodus, you see it in Judges, you see it over and over. And when he moves, God speaks to and uses normal people. How many of you read the story of Gideon? Gideon is a man who is, when he encounters the angel of the Lord, he is threshing wheat in a wine press. And what he's doing is he's trying to hide because he's afraid, and he doesn't see any way out of this. And when the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and he declares, "Hail, mighty warrior, the Lord is with you," Gideon's response is, "Who, me? You want to use me?" You see, God uses people who feel inadequate. God speaks to people who don't feel that they have the tools or the ability. And God uses normal people. Abraham was a normal guy. Moses was a normal guy. If you think about even David, when Samuel is looking to anoint the Lord's next king, he goes to Jesse's family and they bring in Jesse's oldest son, and the Lord says, "Not him." Brings in the next son, "Not him." And finally they bring in the shepherd boy, and the Lord says, God does not look on the outward appearance as man does, but God looks at the heart. God will use the unexpected man or woman. God will use the normal man or woman. You don't have to be a superhero to be used by God. The last thing I want to say before I break and bring Isaac up here is that when God speaks to most of us, we normally are a little bit hard of hearing. I was telling you my story. It took me about 6 months to really discern that it was the Lord. The story of Gideon, over and over, every time God speaks to him, Gideon has to go and check it out just to make sure. He does the fleece, he does other things, because he's not sure he knows the voice of the Lord. But the good news is that even when Gideon was uncertain, God did not let his uncertainty stop him. God kept speaking, and God kept reaching. Isaac, I'd like you to come, and love for you to share some of the stuff that God has been doing and this fresh experience that you have had in hearing the voice of the Lord.
Thanks, Pastor John. I was thinking last night of what I felt God wanted me to share, and I was in my head a little bit thinking, "Oh, I'm going to bring some scriptures and bring," and then I just got a piece that God just said, "Just tell your story, because this is God's story." So I'm just going to tell you my story of what God's been doing in my life. So many of you know that for the past 10 years, I've been, or over 10 years, I've been an entrepreneur and working for myself. And God really blessed that for a time. And he allowed me to be successful. But recently and over the past, I'd say, year, coming through COVID and everything else going on, I've had some struggles. And I had a lot of pride in my life because I was the man. I was the successful business guy. And I know now that God really had to bring me through this trial and tribulation of troubles and failure. And I felt like a failure, and I felt like I had to be broken, and I know God had to break me to make me. So through the 6 months and then leading up to COVID, I really started struggling and seeking advice and looking to people to share into my life so that I could say, okay, well, that's what I need to go do. I need to follow that path. I even came to Pastor John and some of the people in the church and trying to seek advice, but I just never felt that a calling. And I really got into a posture with God of, God, what do you want? What do you want? And then COVID hit, and my business deals with schools, and so it basically shut me down. And I just felt like a complete failure. So I sought the advice of Pastor John and his wife, and we went and had lunch one afternoon, and it really wasn't Pastor John that spoke into my life. It was his wife, Jennifer, and she was sharing how she, at a time period in her life, was trying to understand what God was calling her to do. And on the back of your notes there, there's a quote by George Mueller, and that was the quote she mentioned. And that quote is about how to discern God's will. And that's where I was. Remember, I was in that heart of, God, what do you want? And I'm trying to understand what he wants. But when I read this, and I'm going to read just the first part of that, it says, I seek at the beginning to get my heart into such a state that it has no will, and if own in regard to any given matter. 9/10 of the problem is that we don't come to God without a will. We come to God with our own agendas and our own heart desires. And I felt like my attitude towards God and my attitude at that time was, God, what do you want? And that's kind of harsh, right? God, what do you want? So after I read this, and I said, okay, God, I need to come to you without a will. Isaac has no will. I have no will, God. Tell me what you want to tell to me today. Tell me what you want to say to me today. And what are you calling me to do? There's a difference, right? There's a difference in hearing it that way instead of saying, what do you want? God, what are you calling me to do? What do you want to say to me today? And I woke up one morning, it's like 5 a.m, and I couldn't sleep. And I just got in prayer, and I was praying and saying, okay, God, what do you want to say to me today? And I heard in my heart, go read Mark 3. Now, many of you probably don't know what Mark 3, I didn't know what Mark 3 said. So I'm reading, and I'm just, and I didn't hear that audibly from God, but I just heard in my spirit, go read Mark 3. So I'm reading, and I'm reading through the verses, and I get through about half of it, and I'm just not feeling, what is God wanting to say to me today? What are you calling me to do? And then I get to verse 13. And if those of you don't know, Mark 3:13 is when God calls the disciples, and he says, and he called those he wanted. He called those he wanted. And I just broke. Because that's the question I was asking. God, what are you calling me to do? And then it goes on to say, and he called those he wanted, and that's when he called the disciples, and he's asking them to go do his work. And I got in that spirit, and I said, okay, God, I relinquish my will. I will follow you, and I will do what you are calling me to do. But what is it? What is your calling for me? So being in that spirit, and through all of this, through the last couple months, I was in that place of brokenness and feeling like a failure. And I went to others, but I never went to my father because I had too much pride. Finally, 2 days after I heard this, I get a text. And he said, hey, you want to have lunch? So I'm like, finally, finally. And so we're there, and I'm sharing my heart, and he asked me, he said, and I'm sharing him about where I'm at in that place, and he said, well, have you considered joining Compassion and Hope and following God's calling in Compassion and Hope? And I really felt in my heart.
I just want to interject, for those of you who don't know Isaac and his father, his dad was the original founding pastor here. And he leads a ministry called Compassionate Hope Foundation. So I just wanted to make sure people knew.
Sure.
Filled in those blanks.
So I heard what he said, and I heard that he, but I really didn't feel like at that time that I was for sure that this is what God was calling me to do. I didn't know. And in this place of just really trying to understand what God's calling is for me, so I said, thank you, and I'll think about it, and I'll pray about it. So, again, I'm in this spirit of trying to hear God's voice, and I felt that he spoke in that first Mark 3:13 when I read it. But so I'm out here mowing, and normally I listen to a business podcast because I'm a businessman. I want to grow in business, but I said, well, I want to hear God's voice, and so I changed, and instead of doing a business podcast, I listened to just a Christian podcast. And the first one I listened to is talking about being a spiritual leader or a spiritual father. And as I'm listening to it, right in the middle, they start focusing on a verse. And in that verse was Mark 3:13. And so I'm out here mowing the church, listening to this podcast, and I start crying. I just stop for a minute and just say, okay, God, I hear you. I hear you. But is this really what you're calling me to do? Still in this place of, I'm not sure, God. So really just trying to stay in the spirit and listen and hear. And about a week and a half goes by, and keep in mind that this was happening just in the last couple months. And so I'm just trying to listen and hear the spirit, and helping a brother, Greg. He works with Compassionate Hope, and my father, and he said, I'm helping him move a couch in his apartment, and he said, I've got a call with your dad in 1 minute. I got to go. I'm listening to that, and I really at this point I've heard God twice, right? And I'm in this place of, well, maybe this is what God's calling me to do. So I said, why don't I join you? I'll just listen in and hear what you guys are having to say and what you guys are talking about. So I joined the call, and they're talking with a couple. So it's my father on a Zoom call with Greg and another couple in Alabama. And it's a husband and a wife, and the husband's sharing his heart. And they had asked them to be an ambassador for Compassionate Hope and share the story of Compassionate Hope in their church and to their friends. And they're talking about this, and the husband starts sharing his heart of that he feels like this is what God is calling them to do. And then he looks over to his wife, and keep in mind that I'm not supposed to be here. I'm just a fly on the wall. That's literally what I said. Hey, guys, I'm a fly on the wall. I'm listening. And she starts sharing her heart, sharing that she wasn't feeling like this. Maybe this is really what God was calling them to do. This is what, not sure if this was what God called them. And then she said, but about 3 to 4 weeks ago, we started doing a Bible study, and we were reading in this Bible study, and that Bible study changed my heart, and it changed my mind that this is what God was calling me to do. And as we're sitting there, she said, and what that calling was in that Bible verse and the study that we were going through is Mark 3:13. I get chills every time I say that. And I'm broke. Because God spoke. That's the verse. That's the verse he's given me. Not once, not twice, but three times. Yeah. I am not supposed to be in this call. And I just broke. I'm crying. My father's crying. Because they've walked through this. Pastor John walked through this process with me, and Greg had walked through it. So we're all crying, and the people on the other side of the call are like, what the heck are these guys doing? Because they know. They knew that God had spoke. And I got to share my story and my story of how God walked me through with Mark 3:13. And not only was her story a part of my story, but her story was affirmation of my story, and my story was affirmation of hers. And it just really, I was able to share my heart, and I know now that God really had to just kick me, say, hey, let's go. So right then and there, I said, okay, God, I submit. I give over to your will. This is your will. To deny it now is deny you. So here I am, Lord, send me. Just allowing God. So I've now committed my heart and my life to full time to joining Compassionate Hope. And That's my God story. That's Amen. What God's been doing and calling. And you know, as you're looking through the notes, I mean, the two points that Pastor John mentioned, the number two and number three, you can clearly see how God spoke and he guided me. And now he's guiding me and speaking me into using for the ministry.
That's awesome. You know, I just want to, I hope you didn't miss this season of brokenness, God changing the circumstances, God trying to get your attention, and then bringing you to the point where it's like, instead of having your own will, it's like, Lord, whatever you want. That's such an important point. Jennifer, if you'll bring up, I think, the next slide, I just want to say this, and then I want to pray for Isaac. One of the real keys to hearing from God is something that in the scripture we call meekness. The idea of meekness is not just that you're mild and soft, but the word, many Christians have taken that, the Greek word is the idea of an animal that has been tamed. The idea of a horse that has been tamed, a dog that has been domesticated. So the idea is that, you know, when you tame a horse, what do you call it? You break the horse. The horse's will has to be broken and yielded to another. Now, I've heard a lot of Christians talk about meekness, and they'll say it's strength under control. And that's mostly right. But what it is, it's strength under the control of another. Every one of us have a measure of strength, a measure of giftedness from God. But when we live out our own strength and our own will, there's only so much that God will do in and through us. But when we are broken and yielded and allow him to work in us, change your life, and it can rock your world. I want to pray for Isaac, and then I want to give a challenge to you guys. So join me for just a minute as Isaac is about to, he's embarking on a new path, a new sense of calling that God has called him to leave behind his business and to be in service to the Lord full time. Let's pray a blessing for him. Normally in church life, we would all gather around. What I'm going to ask you to do is just kind of extend your hand, and let's just pray a blessing on our brother. Father, we believe that you are the giver of gifts. You are the caller. And we sense that you have given Isaac gifts and you have called him and that he has heard your voice. And Lord, he is saying yes to you. So we set him apart for your work. We pray, Father, you will help him to stay in this posture of hearing your voice, of listening to you, and being yielded to you, Father. Bless our brother and use him for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give you a hug. I know we ain't doing that. As we wrap up here today, I want to talk not about Isaac, I want to talk about you. Have you been sensing God doing something in your life? Are you at a crisis point? Is God trying to redirect you? Has he been speaking but you've been unsure? I want to encourage you to enter this place of meekness. Look at Psalm 25:8-9. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Only when we yield ourselves will God break through in our lives. If I can put it this way, get your yes ready. What we want to do, we want God to speak, and then we want to weigh the cost. Maybe I'll do it. What I want you to do is predetermine your yes. Say, Lord, whatever you want. The answer is yes. Now just tell me what it is. Tell me what it is. Because I want to be wherever you want me to be. We finished up the worship set with a song that, Emily, you wrote that song, right? So why don't you guys come on back up here now. And I didn't know they were going to be singing this song today. But as she was singing the song, the message, especially the message of the chorus, resonates the very thing that we're trying to communicate here today. That we've got to yield our lives to Him, listen to His voice, and say yes to Him. Now, before they sing, I'm going to ask you, still your mind, still your heart, and I want you to go before the Lord, and I want you to say, Lord, are you speaking? Have you been trying to direct my life? Have you been trying to break through in some area of my life? Is there something that you have been wanting to say to me that I haven't heard? If so, Lord, speak. So if you would, just get yourself in a posture of yieldedness to God. If it means kneeling, kneel. If it means sitting, sit. I love to just put my hands up like I'm receiving and just say, here I am, Lord. Your servant's listening. So just take a moment quietly before the Lord. Just, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds. Just yield yourself to Him and ask Him to speak. I want to encourage those that are watching on Facebook, this is a time to settle in. Just because you're not here doesn't mean God isn't speaking to you. Just take a moment, even at home. Just get in a posture before the Lord and open yourself to Him and ask Him, Lord, is there something that you're wanting to say? May just be a little thing He's wanting you to do. Sometimes we're wanting something really big and all He wants us to do is just do something small, just to be faithful. Husbands, serve your wife. Wives, bless your husband. Something like that. But if you feel prompted, say yes. Say yes. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to be yielded to You, to be a people that hear Your voice and say yes to You, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to close with this song. If you would, just join in, sing along, or you can stay bowed before the Lord. I'll come and speak a blessing at the end. But let this song be the cry of your heart to the Lord.
Jesus, You are my Lord, the one I long to live for. Holy are You, God. I'm tired of taking over. surrender my will. Hand over my plans. I want to live your life from the palm of your hand. Lord, crying out as I lift my hands and I humble myself on the rock that I stand. I surrender my will, hand over my plans. I want to live your life from the palm of your hands.
We're going to sing that chorus one more time.
Hear me crying out as I lift up my hands and I humble myself on the rock that I stand. I surrender my will, hand over my plans. I want to live your life from the palm of your hands.
Just want to ask, not the people that are up here kneeling and praying, but those of you out there, have any of you sensed that God is saying something to you, even something small? I'm not going to call you out. That's not the point. If you've just sensed God saying something to you, something that he's wanting you to do, just acknowledge it. Just something that says verbally, yes, Lord, okay? Amen. Amen. Father, I pray for those that have heard your prompting, that have heard your Holy Spirit moving. Lord, that you would deepen that call in their hearts, that they wouldn't walk away and just leave it behind and just go do lunch and forget, but that they would hear your voice and they would feel the tug, and that that tug would stay present in their life. Whatever it is, Lord, whether it's a little thing or a big thing, but we ask, Father, for everybody who has felt the prompt of your Holy Spirit. May your Holy Spirit rest upon them. May your voice resonate in their hearts. And may you give us the grace, the power, to do the very thing that you've called us to do. In 1 Thessalonians 5:24, it says, "Faithful is he who called you and who also will do it." When God calls, he promises, "I will be with you." He will be with you. We're going to tag that chorus, and then you're dismissed.
Hear me crying out as I lift up my hands and I humble my
Father, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that you speak. Thank you that you use broken, normal people like us. Lord, as we leave here today, may your grace and your Spirit rest upon us. May we touch our world, whatever that would mean, with your very presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
God, we wait, you're coming soon. So we wait for you. God, we wait, you're coming soon. Like a bride waiting for Jesus, come. To the